Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. United Way of Central Indiana has the awesome responsibility of raising tens of millions of dollars to fund a number of nonprofit agencies, everything from the Girl Scouts to the Helpline, in terms of dealing with human service needs in the Indianapolis area. Several years ago, it used to be back in the day, the United Way just raised the money, cut the checks to agencies, and told the agencies, y'all on your own. Then probably about 20 years ago, the United Way started setting priorities and saying, okay, rather than just give you money and y'all go off and do your thing, we're going to research in the community and talk to a lot of people and try to figure out what are the priorities and needs that we need to deal with. And they did that for a number of years. And now United Way has gone through that process again to recalibrate, re-identify what should be, in their view, the human service needs in Indianapolis and Central Indiana, and what they are, how they came across it, and then agencies, how can you help meet these needs? They're calling this the new you. The 85-cent word explaining this is driving change through intentional alignment, but I think in English is setting priorities for this part of the 21st century. In the House is Ann Mertlow, the president and CEO of United Way, Christy Gillespie, vice president of all things wonderful with United Way, and Demetrius Glover, a brother that does research, Drew. You know, maybe they're trying to tell me I can retire now. Anyway, guys, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us, Amos.
Ann Mertlow, did I kind of explain the new you, that this is resetting, recalibrating from the United Way's perspective what the priorities and human service needs ought to be?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's about. And, you know, our community is not stagnant. It's changing all the time. And so I think we always, if we're going to be an effective organization for improving the lives of people in our community, we need to be aware of the changing needs in our community. And I think first start with, what are the changes we want to see? What goals are we trying to accomplish? Really make sure that everything that we're doing, funding is just one part of that, but everything that we're doing is driving toward those goals. So it's an important evolution for us.
One of the things that United Way got into in the last set of priorities was education, particularly preschool education, and not just as a funder, but raising some extra money to actually educate the broader community about the importance of pre-K education, going downtown and trying to twist the arms of the legislature to do that, as well as raise the quality of a preschool. In these priorities, where does education fit? Both child care, and I understand you now are looking at priorities for education higher than kindergarten.
Right. What we do is we really look at what we're trying to achieve for people. Mm-hmm. So we look from birth until ultimate success, success right. being defined as self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. So it's important to, I think, understand how we kind of came right. to the early childhood and our early literacy goals. And that was because we knew education needed to be a priority. It's really important for success, long-term mm-hmm. success. And we knew that several years ago there was a lot of energy and attention on education, improving education just generally, yeah. but there was almost no one talking about the importance of that 0 to 5 year time frame where 85% of the brain is developing, and stimulation is really important, and getting kids ready to learn, number one, and then ready for kindergarten, their formal education process, was really important to giving them the head start they need to be successful in the rest of their education. So that's how we ended up with a focus, a primary sort of programmatic focus mm-hmm. on the early side. We have always supported the education continuum with things like youth services programs, which we've been very, very, very involved in supporting through funding. Mm-hmm. in the course of the years. So that's one of our four priorities.
Right.
Education, income, health, and basic needs.
And these priorities were set, did just you and your top managers, you know, go out to a restaurant somewhere and decide these are the priorities, or, you know, how were the priorities set?
Now, our board of directors actually adopted a strategic plan back in 2012 mm-hmm. that included the four goals. And interestingly, most United Ways across the nation are revisiting this. Mm-hmm. And most of them are doing education, income, and health. Mm-hmm. Our board actually decided that we would call out basic needs as a specific priority as mm-hmm. well. And it really is the foundation for getting people to a point where they can really think about their long-term success.
All right. So in education, you have three goals. One that by the year, and all these are key to the year mm-hmm. 2021, that by 2021, 80% of all child care centers, pre-K, in central Indiana should be of high quality, which would be that level four.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four in your quality standard. The second is that 90% of central Indiana third graders should be reading at the third grade reading level by 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And that 90% of high school graduates in central Indiana should be graduating within 4 years on time.
Mm-hmm.
On the third grade reading level, given that we had this little dust-up the other week in the Education Roundtable between Superintendent Ritz, who believes that there needs to be some measure, both in iRead and perhaps in iStep, of exactly where is a child reading? What is their actual level rather than you pass the test or you fail the mm-hmm. test? As it relates to your goal on third graders, where does United Way stand on that? Because I think that's going to be an issue that's bubbling under the surface.
Right. Well, Demetrius, you may have a position on this. I would say, you know, just generally, though, mm-hmm. You know, there will be changes of policy right. over time, mm-hmm. and we'll use the best indicators we think there are out there for determining proficiency in reading.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to talk about that specific issue.
No. Mm-hmm. I think I would echo what you just said, mm-hmm. which is that currently, ISTEP is a state standard.
Right.
And so that's why our board and our various committees right. that worked on this picked that standard. If the state decides that another standard should be used to measure a third grade reading level or other reading levels at specific grades, then we would rethink that mm-hmm. and look at what would be the right. Specific standard to follow.
But should in terms of the standard of the measurement, should there be a measurement that not only says either the kid passed the test or they didn't pass the test, but if they're in third grade, they're reading at low third grade, they're reading in middle third grade, they're reading at fourth grade in the third grade, some kind of measure, because right now we really don't know. In other words, if they don't make the change, it's something to think about, because if they don't mm-hmm. make the change, you're looking at mm-hmm. 90% of third of central Indiana third graders reading on grade level. If all you're getting is they passed,
mm-hmm.
you don't know whether they're at low third grade, high third grade, or they're at second grade.
Well, I would think the way that this metric is designed
okay.
is that the ISTEP is a year-end assessment, so it's a year-end benchmark.
Okay.
So if they're passing that assessment or whatever the state standard is at the end of the year, that means they completed the year at the level at which they needed to be.
So in terms mm-hmm. of these metrics and how they affect agencies, so if an agency says, I got an idea and about a program that could impact high school graduation rates or impact third graders reading at third grade level or improving child care quality, that would get that agency a leg up on funding?
Well, we have some specific ideas. You mentioned the high-level goals, which are really kind of aspirational goals for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we can't do that on our own, mm-hmm. certainly as United Way. We need all of our community partners rowing in the same direction. We then have some community metrics that we've looked at that we think will tell us whether we're making progress toward those high-level goals.
Right.
And then we have put in place some suggested program metrics
mm-hmm.
that would apply to our programs, they'd apply to agency programs. But if an agency does come to us, to your point, and says to us, we do have an idea. We've got this creative idea for how we might improve the graduation rate, and this is how we would measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a compelling argument that we buy into, then certainly we would take a hard look at that. And it would be part of our alignment exercise that we're going to be doing with agencies over the next few years to determine funding.
The next community goal is to reduce the proportion of financially unstable families in Central Indiana, reduce that proportion to 25% of all families by 2020. What is a financial, I think the audience knows in their gut what a financially unstable family is, but what's your definition of it?
Well,
please.
That is a national metric. It's basically looking at the percentage that a family uses on housing, counting either rent or mortgage, mm-hmm. and utilities.
Okay.
So ideally, if a family is spending less than 30% of their monthly income on housing and utilities, then they're financially stable. If they're spending more than that, then more than 30%, then they're financially unstable. And the reason is that families that are spending more than 30% of their monthly income on housing and utilities, that they do not always have the excess resources or excess of money to then have a savings or a rainy day fund or some sort of contingency fund. So things that are sort of normal, sort of daily exercise for us, like say we have car trouble, we need to get a car repair or a medical bill, that those things can be budget busters that then send them into a tailspin and make them unstable.
Has there been analysis in terms, because we get a lot of complaints about the high cost of utilities, whether they're electric, whether they're gas, and whether they're water. And the fact that it's the amount of the rent or the mortgage plus the utilities that could kick a family into financially unstable. Have you all looked at, how much utilities fit in that mix? And as part of that reduction, does it have to be not only improving education of families and consumers of how they can use water responsibly, use gas responsibly, use electricity responsibly, but to sensitize utility companies that are major donors to the United Way, that maybe they need to do a better job and maybe working with United Way agencies and creating programs to provide that education for families?
Well, I happen to know a little bit about this from my prior life, and the utilities are very focused on this.
Okay.
I mean, they are very focused on educational programs to help people be more efficient,
mm-hmm.
Because they like customers, right? They like mm-hmm. customers that can pay, and so it's very important for them to have customers that are using those utilities in a way that they're affordable. So I think that's really important. I think. As a percentage of total, I would say, costs are going up. Utility costs are going up
right.
pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to do with infrastructure when you're talking about water.
Right.
In the electric industry, a lot of it's about federal regulation. So, those kinds of things are going to continue to happen.
239-1310. 239-1310. We're talking with the folks at United Way, their new initiative or the priorities called the New You. Health is one of the four priorities. Is that new?
The health priority is a new priority for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be much more focused than we were before. One of the big things that we are adopting, are the goals of the Jump In for Healthy Kids
mm-hmm.
Collective Impact, initiative, which United Way is an important partner in. And that is really geared toward, really stopping this increase in unhealthy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Through a data-based, research-based approach, that combines all of the major components of programs that have worked elsewhere around the nation. So everything from, exercise, making sure that kids get an adequate amount of exercise every year and that they're building that into their life, to making sure that people have access to healthy foods and know how to make them taste good, because mm-hmm. nobody likes to eat healthy stuff that tastes bad, right? To making sure that doctors and nurses in neighborhoods know how to have culturally sensitive conversations with people about food and about weight. So it's really almost like a culture change. And this is rampant in a lot right. of communities, not just ours, but as you know, our health rankings,
mm-hmm.
Terrible,
we're
right?
We're not doing well.
And we need to improve that.
The other is an overall goal that says to ensure that the basic needs of Central Indiana residents are met, particularly in food, shelter, legal aid, transportation, but primarily, you know, food. It sounds like it's a catch-all, but it's not a catch-all because it's trying to provide basic needs. Is that a new priority or a reworking of current priorities, Christy?
I would say it's a reworking of current priorities. I mean, since the inception of United Way, basic needs have always been a core of what we fund. And as Ann mentioned earlier, United Way worldwide and our colleagues across the country, most are adopting education, income, and health. But our board made a specific effort to say we want to make sure that basic needs remains a part of our core portfolio of what we do. And so they added it as a fourth priority. And so when we developed this, we wanted to make sure that, in fact, it called out things like food, shelter, those things that people need in order to be stable, that then they can enter into programs, you know, through education, income, and health that will get them ultimately to self-sufficiency. And Demetrius can probably add to this, but we were very intentional when we developed basic needs that it isn't about necessarily a transforming kind of activity, but it's about are we delivering or able to deliver, you know, food when people need it, shelter when they need it. Is our community able to meet those needs at the time that people need them in crisis situations? And then once we get them out of that crisis, then they're able to go on and enter other programs that will help them.
In these four broad priority areas, what happens to agencies that don't right now fit those niches? You know, assume folk have sent me notes already.
Mm-hmm.
And they've given me examples, you know.
Hypothetically.
How does this fit scouting? How does this fit sickle cell? How does it fit CICOA? How does it fit somebody that is not particularly in that particular niche and has been a United Way agency ever since it was called a community fund?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer that one because and it's very interesting that hypothetically.
Because now this is Christy and I have been around a while. This is Indiana. We don't take change kindly.
We do not.
On a good day.
Yeah. It's true.
I know, but change is necessary. But the interesting thing about that for me is that we haven't made a determination. We have made no assumptions about which agencies might or might not fit. And the reason is that this is going to be an exploratory process that we go through in which the agencies are going to be very involved so that we can understand, their thinking about where we're going. You know, there were very few, if any, agencies when we went through this, sharing the information on this with our agencies that said these are not, you know, goals that
nobody ran out of
need
the
to
room,
pursue. No,
screaming.
Absolutely not. And so we're going to go through this process, and you know, we're going to have agencies that are already doing some of this stuff. We're going to have agencies that aren't doing it but want to do it and have the capability to do it. We're going to have agencies who want to do it and don't have the capability, and we'll help them get there. And we're going to have some agencies that may decide, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else. My mission is a little bit something else. And you know, then we'll agree to part friends, and it won't be an indictment of anything. It may be a great agency that just decides to go a different direction.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. We'll take a call in a minute. We'll take a break so I don't completely fall behind. Or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com. We're talking with the United Way. It's called the New You as they try to raise for 2014, 2015, what?
More than we raised last year.
And you raised last year 45?
Well, the way to think about what we raised is that in all told, all of our revenue was about $72
million. $72
million. Mm-hmm.
So now you
that's a lot of money.
But you're like Jerry Lewis used to be, $1 more. the next year.
We're trying to make big changes in our community, and everybody needs to be a part.
All right, $4 more than they got the last time. It's after this with Amos, after these. With Ann Myrtle, the president and CEO of United Way, also Christy Gillespie, Demetrius Glover, to the phones, and Reverend Day. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine, Reverend. What's up?
A question for United Way in terms of a new you. I know you're doing some very good program, especially your Connect by 21 program. I think was very successful. And in terms of your efforts now, I'm wondering how important it is to include African Americans providers. Are you working on how you can maybe help develop or get them more involved with being put partnership with United Way? Because I think that would be a vital partnership in providing the service and helping you to meet your goals.
Are you talking about African American providers that are not currently United Way agencies?
Right. That are not currently United Way agencies.
I think the best way to say is that we're still in the process of evolving the organization in line with these new goals that we've set up. So at least initially, we're going to be working with the agencies that we have, and that's over the next year or so. And then, but we are always looking for creative ideas on how to serve. And how to get us to those high-level community goals. So for us, it's really all starts with those high-level community goals. And as you can tell, with the education goals that Amos talked about before, and really with the others as well, we're talking about the entire lifespan of an individual. So it's everything from babies to adults, and trying to help them be more successful.
In that terms of high community goals, what percentage of your partnerships are African-American providers at this time? And two, are they included on your planning committees?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by African-American
Reverend
providers.
Reverend Day, rather than me define it, define what an African-American provider would be.
Okay, an African-American provider would be someone that developed their own agency. And they're either social workers or psychiatrists or psychologists that have a history of providing services to families and children.
So this would not be, so in this example, we're not talking about the Urban League, we're not talking about Edna Martin Christian Center, we're not talking about Martin Center, which you could be defined as African American providers.
Right, it'll be something like Midwest Psychological Services, Dr. Kegler, those kinds of agencies. There's quite a few of them out there. They're small agencies, and usually they have subcontracts instead of having a primary contract.
But aren't some of those agencies for-profit and not non-profit?
They're both.
Mm-hmm. Now, you all cannot...
For-profit and non-profit.
We only deal with non-profit agencies.
Right, and there are quite a few that are non-profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's nothing, there used to be a requirement that you had to be a United Way agency to get support from United Way. Is that a hard and fast rule, or has there been changes in the last several years?
No, it has been, with the exception of our Quality Child Care Initiative, where we've been giving capital grants, which are different from the operating grants that our mm-hmm. agencies get mm-hmm. For the specific purpose of advancing the healthcare mm-hmm. The quality child care objectives. So, and we have not accepted new applications for agencies mm-hmm. for several years now, in large part because we needed to get this strategy in place and then raise more money mm-hmm. in order to have a cadre of healthy agencies.
Are the existing agencies going to be encouraged to say, hey, wait a minute, if we're trying to do something to reduce purport, you know, to deal with financially unstable families, and if there are some sub-providers, particularly nonprofit sub-providers that could provide expertise in communities of color, whether they're the Latino community, whether they're the African-American community, or maybe somebody that specializes if there's a pocket of poverty in one of the suburban counties, to subcontract in a program where the lead agency is a United Way agency, but they've got subcontractors?
Yes, I think that could be certainly a mechanism to achieve these kind of goals. What we have started talking about with the agencies and internally is, you know, we talk about these goals vertically, but we are also very interested in achieving
the cross connection
horizontally as well, meaning, you know, we want children who are participating in educational programs, but we also want their parents participating in, you know, income or health programs that could help them be more successful as a whole family.
Right. And one other last question is, I know in some of the state applications where they have a clause in there asking if they're, if the primary contractor is subcontracting to MWBAs, and many times they can just write no or leave that blank. Do you all have such thing in your contract?
Well,
you monitor it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We don't have something quite like that, but what we do have that we just instituted about 4 years ago that are we evaluate our certified agencies on is a diversity and inclusion standard. And what we look at is each of our agencies have to have a diversity and inclusion plan that can be embedded in their business plan or strategic plan or by it on its own. But what we look at is are they setting proper goals related to diversity and inclusion? And so we want to look at things like, or we do look at things like what kind of population in terms of demographics are they serving? And do their staff properly reflect the population that they're serving? Are their materials and marketing efforts culturally appropriate for their target population?
Well, here's a dumb question. I appreciate the call, Reverend Day. Here's a dumb question. You guys have 211. That I give all this business to call 211. They have these big books and are now computerized with all these agencies and stuff. Does 211 have a roster of nonprofit minority agencies, not United Way agencies, but minority nonprofit vendors that could help be available to provide services or partner with United Way agencies in a particular expertise?
Well,
and the reason is if you're talking about having your agencies have a diversity plan, and if somebody looks around here and says, well, wait a minute now, in order to get, you know, high school graduation rate at 90%, we got to work on white males in IPS, and we got to work on minorities, there may be some other agencies to partner with, whether that may not be in the United Way umbrella, but if the agency, if they don't see it in a directory and they're not familiar with them and they never worked with them before, how would they know?
So your question is really, is 211's referral list really comprehensive outside of United Way agencies, and is it inclusive?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say we know that on an informal basis, but I actually think you raise a really good point and have a good idea that maybe what we could do as United Way is create, like the Reverend Day was saying, create in a nonprofit language or nonprofit world, a minority business guide, but for it to be in the nonprofit. For example, you know, we have the Martin Center Sickle Cell Initiative. You know, we could make sure that the rest of our agencies know if they're dealing with a population related to sickle cell, you know, you should be engaging with the Martin Center.
The other problem,
Well,
the other problem with minority agencies is some of them are relatively new. Some of them, if they're not new, are more grassroots. So they have not, you know, to use your child care example, they have not reached the level 4 quality is an example in terms of the standards that you expect from your agencies in terms of transparency. As you all look at how to meet these community needs by 2020 and 2021, is it time for the United Way to maybe do some workshops and seminars for the smaller groups, some of which are faith-based, to be able to provide them with the training or the expertise to learn how do you move from being a small grassroots nonprofit to get up to the quality, not so much the quality of the program, but the quality of the paperwork yeah. and the accountability, because I think nonprofits, one of the frustrations of smaller nonprofits is they don't know that the game has changed, that the same kind of accountability that you, that the world is demanding from General Motors and Lilly, United Ways now have to do after that scandal. What was that scandal? 10, 20, 15,
long,
20 years
long,
ago.
Long time ago.
But in terms of that accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because in order to do these kind of partnering and maybe for the United Way agency to get the extra expertise they need, they might have to partner with a small grassroots mm-hmm. group.
That's definitely a possibility. And one of the things that Christie's group does at United Way is capacity building, helping agencies build the capacity that they need. You know, one of the reasons donors give through United Way is because we do have these accountability standards for our certified agencies. So they're very important, and we can be a source of good information there. I think, Reverend Day, thank you for your questions. I think the you've really kind of highlighted the whole point of the new you is to get everybody rowing in the same direction
mm-hmm.
and all focused on the same goals. Because, you know, if we look at all the things that could be addressed in our community, we don't have the resources to fund every single idea that's out there, which is why we all need to work together.
In the in these priorities, somebody sent me an email at praiseindy.com, where does HIV AIDS fit?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the, not question marks, that's the wrong term. Is that one of the issues that has to be resolved? Where does HIV, because you've got a number of United Way agencies where some of the funding goes to HIV programs. You got the whole Damien Center. Mm-hmm. Is Damien Center United Way?
They are.
Yeah, Damien, where do they fit into this?
Well, you know, as Ann said earlier, I mean, we're hesitant to, at this point, say who's in and who's out.
Because it hasn't been determined. And we're just starting to have those conversations.
So all these
detailed conversations with agencies.
So all the emails and whatever and everybody's fear, the fear ain't hit yet. This is not, decisions have not been made in the back room.
Exactly.
No, they have not. I mean,
what back room? We do not have a back room.
We do not have a
back room.
No back room.
I would say that as we were working on this process, that many of our own volunteers actually asked us this question, well, you guys must obviously know who's in and who's out. And we said, no, we do not. We're creating a fair, transparent process by which we will work with our community to determine which agencies are aligning with us and help those that want to.
Before we take the break, where does the neighborhood community centers, a.k.a. the multi-service centers, fit into this?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's something coming down the pike that has not been officially publicly announced that United Way is going to be involved in, because I ain't got no press release. But where do your neighborhood centers fit in these four priorities?
Well, many of them fall into our priority on income,
mm-hmm.
Income stability. And Christie can talk about this a little bit more, but we have done some strategic funding, approved strategic funding for something called the Centers for Working Families, which mm-hmm. is a model that is in place at many of our community centers. And that is a
so that's what the guy from Flanner House was talking about when he was in here the other week. The Center
Wilbur?
For Working, yes, the Center for, the Center for Working Families.
Yeah, he probably was, because Flanner House is one of the sites.
Okay.
So,
what is that designed to do, a Center for Working Families?
So Center for Working Families has been in Indianapolis for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. It was brought to our community by the Central Indiana Community Foundation mm-hmm. and Local Initiative Support Corporation as really kind of a demonstration or pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a movement across the country. It's not, you know, just in Indianapolis. We have built our network up to 7 locations, 6 of which are community centers and our United Way agencies. So mm-hmm. the community centers have really been leaders in this kind of new Center for Working Families model. And we'll be adding a new center at a special event on July 11th,
mm-hmm.
Community Alliance of the Far East Side will mm-hmm. be at the 8th site. So the idea is Center for Working Families, I try to explain it very simply that as a former center director myself,
mm-hmm.
We would have liked to have done this years ago, but at the time the technology just wasn't such that we were able to do it. So I say Center for Working Families has 2 major differences. It takes what the community centers are already doing and just kind of amps it up to really move people along. And it does that in two ways. It is intentional and strategic about bundling support services for families. So there are three core services that research shows help families. Income supports, which is could be public benefits, access to public benefits, employment, and financial coaching. Mm-hmm. And if you bundle at least two of those services together, the success of the family improves substantially. Mm-hmm. And so this model, it's not a program, but it's a model that intentionally makes sure that two services are bundled, at least two services for the family to succeed. The second thing is Center for Working Families is very data-driven. Mm-hmm. And so based on research of what data points you should be tracking on a family, you want to look at their credit score to make sure that's increasing, obviously income, their net worth, and then also employment. And so if you can bundle those services, target very focused at those things, if those things are improving, then it'll reach that goal that we're trying to reach.
On the credit score, is it also making sure that the credit report is accurate and there's not any kind of yin-yang in there?
That's absolutely right. So, for example, a financial coach within Center for Working Families would pull the credit report of a family, review it with them, help them correct any inaccuracies, and then really walk them through, so what do you need to do every day, every month, to make sure that that credit score starts moving up.
United Way also serves suburban counties. The Indianapolis Star was shocked to find out that there's poverty in the suburban counties. What, in terms of looking at financially unstable families and income security, where does that fit in the suburbs? Because unless things suddenly turn around, that poverty's still going to be up there for a while.
And we are aware of the growing problem in the surrounding counties. We have an area director in each of the counties that keeps their thumb on the pulse of the what's happening in the county and how those needs are changing, and they leverage Demetrius's group to understand what's going on in those counties. And then we have agencies that are supported in those counties, and we have some of our other programs that are taking place in the counties as well.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We'll be back with our remaining moments with the folks from United Way, the new you. And we know this. We know every United Way agency has been listening to them, been listening. They go onto the website probably in the morning when all this gets posted at praiseindy.com. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos with the folks from United Way. So the process of the United Way campaign is summer, so you probably have people already in the field working in companies starting the fundraising for this summer, this fall, and the early part of next year. The dollars that are being raised in the new United Way campaign, is that going to be devoted to the new you, or this will not get implemented for another whole year?
We're already focused on the new you, so that the money that we raised last year goes to support our work in the coming year.
Okay.
And we're on a July 1st to June 30th fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already going down this path.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We raise money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We really do raise money.
So it's going to make people listening to think, oh, well, United Way only raises money starting Labor Day. That's been gone.
That's right. Well, I would say that most of our corporate campaigns still run between September 1st and the end of the year. And a lot of excitement is created around that. But what most people don't, a lot of people do not know is that you do not have to be part of a workplace campaign to be part of United Way. The power of United Way is in bringing everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have time to donate. Some people have money to donate. Some people have different levels that they can donate. But the power of United Way is that if everybody chips in, we can make amazing things happen.
So somebody could go to the website, uwci.org, and if they wanted to give $20 today to United Way, they could do that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to be in a workplace or wait for somebody in the campaign to invite you to a meeting.
No, and we really welcome that. And the more we can spread the word about that, and the more people that can contribute to the improvement of our community, the better off we're all going to be.
Is that the same with volunteering?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We have a volunteer center that we run through the website, so you can get to it through our website at uwci.org.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
And if people go also to the website, uwci.org, and want to know how United Way spends the money, where does the money go, you got all that disclosure on the website?
Is the community report on the website, Christy? Do you remember?
We have our agency directory on the website, and it shows how much in community fund goes to each agency. And we also have other funds because we have other funds that we invest in agencies. And we also list designations as well. So our total investment for each agency is on our website.
At uwci.org.
Yes, under agency directory, I believe, is the tab.
And it's the new you. Why the letter U?
Oh, why do you think? It's perfect. Well, for two reasons, right? Because it's United Way.
Right. That's
and because you. It's all about you. And when I say you, it's all about everyone in our community.
Ann Mertlow, the president and CEO of United Way of Central Indiana. Demetrius Glover, he's the research type. And they even got a thing where you hold your finger up and do a U. See, Drew's got it. Drew's figured this out. See?
Oh, yeah, Drew's got it.
Drew,
that's good, Drew.
Drew is with us, and Christy Gillespie, vice president. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.